We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Thinman. We've got a great show for you today. I hope Rosh Hashanah was a Rosh Hashanah for you, a happy and healthy new year, and we're still wishing you happy and healthy new years from the Jewish Hour family to yours. In this half hour of the show, we will be featuring an interview with the Israel consul from the Midwest, Mr. Daniel Oschheim. We're going to be talking about the Abraham Accord, the peace deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. The second half of the hour, we'll be talking about the portion of Hazino, which is chapter 32 in the book of Devarim, and also Shabbos Shuvah, the Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Very important. A wonderful Hasidic story all the way at the end. Great music. We got some new brand spanking new stuff coming up for you to listen to. I hope you'll enjoy it. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Rockets were fired from Gaza at southern Israel on Tuesday during the signing ceremony in Washington. The Iron Dome intercepted one of the two rockets. Two people were injured by shrapnel near a mall in Ashdod. One person remains in serious condition in hospital. 13 rockets were fired early Wednesday morning over the course of a half hour. Eight were intercepted by the Iron Dome anti-missile system. In response, Israel struck 10 Hamas targets in Gaza, including a factory for the production of weapons. Shari Tzedek Hospital in Jerusalem announced that they will no longer be able to accept COVID patients as their ICU and respirators are maxed out. Israel is in a state of lockdown for the entire week this week. They reported last week that Ben Gurion is closed, schools are closed, as the rise in COVID continues. The Shin Bet, Israel's FBI, arrested five women on charges of organizing a terrorist cell. The head of the group is a senior librarian for Hebrew University's library. Israel's Weizmann Institute of Science and the Mohammed bin Zayed University of Artificial Intelligence in the United Arab Emirates signed a memorandum of understanding. The two universities will share research and exchange professors. There are also Israel shipping lines are now looking to sign an agreement where they will be able to port at Dubai. Israel's population stands at 9.2 million people, up 1.6% from last year. 170,000 babies were born, while 25,000 people moved to Israel. 74% of Israel's population is Jewish. And finally, the U.S. Library of Congress awarded Israel's PJ Library Program its 2020 Library of Commerce Literacy Awards Program Best Practice Honoree. Yay! The PJ Library distributes books monthly to 500,000 children, both Jewish and Muslim. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on live from the Israel Consul serving the Midwest, Mr. Daniel Oschheim. He is brand new to the Midwest. This is going to be for a couple of years, and every time we have something having to do with Israel, well, I suppose we'll talk to Daniel. Welcome, Mr. Oschheim. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing very well, Rabbi Finman. My pleasure being here this morning, and Shana Tova to all our listeners.
And Shana to you as well. And so is Chicago, you're finding Chicago a little different than Senegal?
A little bit different, I would say. The weather is still not so different. I'm expecting the weather changes. With COVID, everything looks very similar, I must say, sitting in the room with Zoom. So besides that, but it's a fantastic city. It's not my first time in Chicago. I lived also a year in Wisconsin as a child. So I have a part of my heart is here in the Midwest. So I'm excited to return as an Israeli diplomat here.
Very good. Baruch haba, welcome. And we wish you much hatzlacha, much success. Okay. Last week, there was major earth-shattering events that occurred. We have the signing of the Abraham Accord, this monumental peace treaty between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, and that's the focus of our discussion today. So tell us, how long in the making is this agreement? How far back does it go that people were starting of thinking of normalizing relations between the two countries, Mr. Oschheim?
So the relations already started in the 90s. Around 95, with the Oslo agreements, the Oslo Accord signed, diplomatic relations started much, much less visual and lots less public as it is now. But Israeli diplomats started working on it for many years already. So diplomacy, the work that's done for many, many years, a lot of times it's behind the scenes, very quietly, a lot of work which is not always outside there and glamorous. It's a lot of hard work. But eventually, to see such events, this is what our work is for. So eventually, waiting for years and years until this normalization comes and the relationship become formal, this is the dream of every diplomat. So this is something that's for many, many years, but coming to this moment, this historical moment, is the peak of such relationships.
Okay. And were there, like, unofficial things? I seem to recall, I'm trying to jog my memory, and I don't keep written records of it, but I seem to recall, like, 20 years or so reporting that there were things like trade offices that were open from the Emirates in Israel. Were there such organizations already formulated years ago?
So Israel had representation offices in parts of the Emirates, yes. It was part of it was not an official representative of the State of Israel, but we had a flag inside. It was more connected to trade and economy, you're right. So, but Israel did have ties in that field. So there were agreements, economic agreements between companies and between institutions, but it was never formalized on between state to state, but it was more private companies and private companies.
Okay. Could you please describe what was the impetus to take it to the next step, to get it out of from like behind the scenes to upfront in the news and then finally an actual signing?
So first of all, this is courage of leadership. I believe that President Trump, together with Prime Minister Netanyahu and the leaders of the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain together, did this step, which is an historical step. I mean, it's historical accords that I think that without this leadership of today, it would not have happened. I mean, of course, there are historical changes and shifts and things that are moving around the world, a lot of it connected to interest Iran, which brings a lot of extremism to the region and instability. We are trying to find allies in the Middle East, which brings stability to the Middle East and not extremism. And these are our allies. And we understand, and our neighbors understand, that Israel is the positive force in the Middle East to bring peace. So I think these historical agreements are important, significant milestones that will serve to advance security and stability across the region. And everyone understands that. And it's a great opportunity that will serve to advance further agreements with other Arab countries, hopefully, which will come in the near future.
God willing, as we say. So the process then. This was just, the first question I have really is that something that really caught my attention is one of the documents that was signed was a peace treaty. The Emirates and Israel were never at war, so why was there a peace treaty signed?
You're right, we were never at war, and peace is done usually with countries that you're at war with. However, in the very sensitive situation in the Middle East where Israel was usually seen as a force which is illegitimate and was not acknowledged by the Arab states. So besides our agreement with Jordan and Egypt, which were very, very significant, which changed the Middle East dramatically, we are coming to times that there is a very significant shift when the relationship becomes public and an official peace agreement is signed. So what it means with this peace agreement, the Abraham Accords, is establishing a visionary future of peace and prosperity for generations to come. And this is bringing priority to the well-being of their own citizens, and bringing it to the faith that it's public is also, that means in practice opening embassies, direct flights, many bilateral agreements, which will enhance the relationship and bring to the Middle East economy, medicine, science, technologies, cultural tourism exchanges, and many, many things that there were interest of both countries to upgrade the relationship from localized and specific agreements, which were sometimes behind the scenes, to the front line of the Middle East.
Okay, understood. There's an Arab expression that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and the big sleeping bear in the Middle East, of course, is Iran. How much would you say is the UAE's the impetus in making a, some kind of a relationship with Israel based on their fear of, or whatever the verb is you would like to say, in regards to Iran, and also maybe cutting a deal to getting advanced technology from the United States, like the F-35s, and even advanced technology from Israel?
So first of all, it's not a secret that Iran is the most threatening force here in the Middle East for the stability of the region and the stability of the world. So the extremist regime of Iran is imposing itself on the region with supporting terrorism, supporting all the forces that are making instability in the region. And of course, the UAE and Bahrain, and I'm sure the other countries that will follow, understand that. And as you said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. However, I think it's much more deep than that. I think these relationships are built on genuine will to advance in the fields that I mentioned before. And through this agreement, it will be a change in the Middle East. Will bring stability, will advance security, and hopefully also will bring the Palestinian neighbors to return to the negotiation table. However, this is very important, that the moderate forces will come together and fight extremism that is led by Iran, the better it will be for the world.
Okay.
And as you asked before, so regarding keeping Israel's strategic advantage in the Middle East, I'm sure President Trump and any other regime, any other administration in the United States will keep Israel's strategic advancement here in the Middle East.
Okay. Our guest today again is Daniel Asheim. He is a representative of the Israel Consul serving the Midwest. We are talking about the historic Abraham Accords. You mentioned the Palestinians. One of the themes that part of the conditions for the signing of the Abraham Accord is that there be no further talk on Israel's part of annexation of the West Bank or parts of the West Bank. Is this going to, I guess maybe in your opinion or official opinion, be detrimental to the growth of Israel if we have outside forces saying determining domestic policy, Donald?
So first of all, Israel has suspended the extension of sovereignty to areas of Judea and Samaria for now. It is an opportunity for Palestinian neighbors to return to negotiations on the basis of the full and balanced Trump peace initiative. I don't think it's anything that it was imposed on Israel. I think this was the understanding that the current situation based on the Trump peace initiative, currently there's a big shift in the Middle East, and if we don't take this opportunity now, then who knows when this historical opportunity will return. And therefore, taking this opportunity is the number one priority, and it's suspended. So that hopefully soon we'll make peace also with our neighbors based on Israel's sovereign right of two areas of Judea and Samaria, based on its historical biblical right as well.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about domestic policy. So when this whole thing happened, so Americans are very monolithic in their studies, and history started in the 1600s when the Pilgrims moved to America, and before that, and anything else around that doesn't have any, didn't, never existed. So I never really learned about the United Arab Emirates, and it was interesting to see that it has a population of about 9 million people. Only about 1.5 million are actually Emirati citizens. The rest are foreign expats who are there to service the very wealthy Emirates. Is Israel going to have any effect in determining how the UAE treats its lowly workers, as we might say?
So we, Rabbi Finman, we as a sovereign country do not interfere in other sovereign countries' domestic politics and, of course, the way their workers' agreements. I think this is internal politics that every country should deal with. I don't deal with these topics.
The answer is no. Just to put it succinctly. Okay, so really, bottom line, since this was an agreement that was really started 25 years ago or so, based on monetary and financial cooperation, how much is capitalism really behind this agreement? Meaning, like, money makes the world goes around.
So I don't think it's only money. I think, of course, economy is a very important aspect of any relationship between countries. We know it from around the world, whether it's Europe, whether it's Southeast Asia, whether it's North America, whether it's Israel's relationship with other countries. So economy is one important pillar. However, medicine, we are talking about COVID days today, medicine, Israeli companies are working closely with companies from the UAE and about finding solutions to the world how to live during this COVID and fighting it. So on the medical level, on the medical technology level, and we are trying to find ways together to change and help the world. We are talking about medicine, but we also talk about science and technology, which will improve people's lives around the world, whether it's in the developing regions. You were asking me before in the beginning of the interview, is it different than Senegal? So I served 2 years in Senegal, which is in West Africa. And I know how Israeli technologies are changing Africa. So they're bringing Israeli technologies, whether it's from the field of for irrigation, drip irrigation, or agriculture, or medical science, or security of borders, or fishing security. So all of these aspects are things that we are going to work with together with the UAE and Bahrain, our new peace partners, on improving these technologies, which are going to help change the world. So whether it's to help the United States, to help the Midwest, I know Midwestern technologies are using Midwestern universities and hospitals are using Israeli technology now for monitoring things connected to the COVID, but besides that, also to doing medical care from far away. So remotely, we can use things sitting in the house, looking at a doctor through a machine, and which is going to change the medical history of the world if these things are going to work. And together with our new partners, I'm sure it's going to go and improve and advance even more.
Donald Asheim, so let's talk next that Oman will be the next one to fall in line. Is there like a list of who the Israelis will be considering for the next round of accords and peace treaties, et cetera, and those who are sort of like way down at the bottom of the list, like we'll expect Mashiach first before Iran signs any kind of peace treaty.
So, of course, Mashiach, we always hope will come one day, and the sooner he comes, the better. But before that, we'll need to work hard to bring peace with any neighbor in the Middle East or in Africa, North Africa. Of course, we don't have, there are people who have lists of potential countries. They are discussing it now. Of course, I can't share this information in the radio or in the press before it's signed, because these are delicate diplomatic matters. But there are definitely countries which are the potential. As President Trump mentioned, there are specific countries which are on the short list, and hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, Inshallah, or whatever you want to say, soon we'll have these peace agreements signed with other countries.
Uh-huh. What about recently Kosovo and Serbia signed on recognizing Israel? And my news sources commented that Kosovo is the first Muslim country to recognize Israel. So if you could talk maybe a little bit of the significance of that.
So it's not the first Muslim country to recognize in Israel, because we have, of course, we have Jordan, we have Egypt, which are Muslim countries, which acknowledge. We have also in Africa, I served in Senegal, which is a Muslim country, which acknowledges. So it is an advancement. Of course, these are also important steps, especially the representation in Jerusalem that they're about to open. They're going to open an embassy in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, which is a significant step. And again, this is a very good step towards peace, whether it's in the Balkans or the Middle East. So we are happy for that as well. It's an important step.
Okay. We have just a couple more minutes. I hope can I ask you a few questions about what's going on with COVID in Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you about COVID in Israel? We had Moran Berman come on in April, and everybody was all glowing with the reports of how Israel was handling the outbreak of COVID. We compared the population of Israel is pretty much the same as the population of Michigan. And in Michigan, there were tens of thousands of people who were getting COVID. And in Israel, you're talking a couple hundred maybe. And then suddenly things reversed. And now Israel has got the highest COVID rate of any country in the world. What's happened?
You're right. It's very unfortunate. This COVID is moving to directions that no one anticipates. No one knows what to expect. This pandemic is a tough cookie, I must say, all around the world. Places that already thought that they finished with it, it came back. Places that never had it are getting it. And it's very hard to predict. People thought that it's going to get to leave the world in the summer, but it did not. And hot places got it harder sometimes than cold places. So we are dealing with something that we never dealt with before. The whole world, it's a pandemic that is hitting rich countries, poor countries, countries from Australia, New Zealand, to North America, South America, all over the world, and Israel as well. And you're right that Israel had very good statistics following the first wave. And in the beginning of May, I had my beautiful daughter come to the world, and we were all very optimistic. It was the talks that COVID has ended in Israel. And so thank you. And unfortunately, Israel opened very quickly the economy, which was a good step because it was needed as well. However, because of this quick opening, the numbers rose rather gradually and then dramatically kept stable at 2,000 cases a day, right? And now in the recent 2 weeks, it has been the numbers are higher than they were before, and therefore Israel is getting in today to the second curfew for Rosh Hashanah, and that's very unfortunate. It's very hard for families not to celebrate together, for people not to daven together. So these are difficult times for Israel and around the world, and hopefully after this after these steps in the next few weeks, we will see some changes and the numbers going down, hopefully, but no one knows. And hopefully everyone will stay safe and healthy. That's the most important.
Indeed. I have one last question. Well, it actually comes from... Yes, of course. One last question. This one came from a listener who heard that I was going to have Donald Asheim from the Israel Council on today. Israel opening up so quickly, how much would you say was that Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's machismo, trying to sort of like appease Donald Trump, who has always been very much pro opening up the economy, getting things back again, and him just saying, "Look, I'm a big boy. I can do this in my country."
Look, I'll tell you this. I think every country, no country has found the recipe to deal with the balance between the health needs, the economical needs, the social needs, and psychological needs of the people. We're in a very delicate situation around the world. Again, as I mentioned before, no one has ever experienced before. And we need to find the true balance between the economy, the health, and the mental health of the people. And there is no black and white solution here. So it's true that everyone wants to open the economy. No one wants to stay at home. And it's bad for economy, bad for the countries, bad for the international economy, bad for the agendas of people, this ruined lives of people who had plans, if they had weddings or they needed to go to funerals instead. I mean, this is terrible. These are terrible times for the world. Now, the reasons you want to open the economy, I don't think it's connected to someone wants to neglect or ignore this pandemic. I think the will to open the economy is based on the real needs of the people, the real need of the countries. And finding the balance is what Israel is working on now, and it's trying to learn from other countries. Some are doing it better, some are doing it less good, and it changes. Countries, again, that we thought of as examples are now, the raising numbers show that also there it's a problem. So we are currently in the middle of the game, so it's hard to do analysis when we are still, I hope you'll invite me again, Rabbi Finman, in the future, and then we'll do an historical analysis and comparison, but we are still in the situation, so it's very hard to say. And I really hope also here in the Midwest, in America, in Israel, and all around the world, we'll have a much better winter, even though it doesn't look like it. I'm not very optimistic, but I really hope that we'll have good news coming.
Yeah, there's an old Yiddish expression. I don't know how your Yiddish is, but the expression is tracht good, wird sein good. You think good, it'll be good. So hopefully.
Exactly. Wie gesund to all of us.
Indeed. So our guest today has been Daniel Ashheim from the representative of the Israel Council. We've been talking about the Abraham Accords and other things. How many years will you be in Chicago, Daniel?
I'm supposed to be here for 3 years. So I'm looking forward to my term here.
Okay, wonderful. And we wish you much hatzlacha, much success in your time here. And I'm sure in the next 3 years we will talk often.
Thank you very much for having me. And again, I wish you and all the listeners Shana Tova Metuka, happy Jewish New Year, and health for all of us. Be safe.
Indeed. A happy and a healthy, sweet New Year to you and yours.
Toda rabba.
Okay, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We actually stopped off at Franklin Cider Mill. We placed our order online at franklincidermill.com and paid for it online and just pulled up in the little parking space, said, here I am. They gave me my stuff, and I was gone in like 15 seconds. No fuss, no muss, no bother. And the cider is in the fridge. It was wonderful on Rosh Hashanah. We have up next, for your listening pleasure, this is Nimul. We've had him before. This is Yishtabach, which means he should be praised.
Ishtabach shimcha lach, Hashem echad, Hashem echad, ushmo echad. Ma'adir shimcha ve'en od milvadcha, melech ha'machir. Ishtabach shimcha lach, Hashem echad, Hashem echad, ushmo echad. Ma'adir shimcha ve'en od milvadcha, melech ha'machir.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Shulman, here you're listening to The Jewish Hour. This is also brand new. This is Rufy New, who's from Boca Raton, Florida. He's done a couple of songs. Not his primary profession is not singer, but he's got a good voice. And this song is called It's You.
I used to think I knew it all, how to handle every hurdle, big and small. Blind to the internal, in my world of the external, I stood tall. I used to think I was my work, coming home was just a perk, and my future was safe and secure. Yeah, life was good, I was on a roll. Cruise control ensured that this all would endure. That the illusions are gone, the curtain's been drawn, my
grasp, though it tries, cannot disguise that it's you when no rhyme or reason can go. For it's you in all time and each season, I know. And you never leave us all to chance. And with you, the world will yet have its dance. It's you when no rhyme or reason can go. For it's you in all time and each season, I know. And you never leave us all to chance. And with you, I've learned how to let go, how to cherish the eternal, feel the flow of my faith. It does embrace me in its space. I see so clearly how my soul it glows. And home is where the holy is, where we love and we forget. Build a home that he seeks and desires. Every life tells its own tale, and we did. Bringing sounds down of gold and of fire. The illusions are gone, the curtain's been drawn. My mouth slowly tries, cannot disguise that it's you when no rhyme or reason can go. For it's you in all time and each season, I know. And you never leave us all to chance. And with you, come 5781, may all of our pain be healed. In the rise of its dawn, a new light is born. May your glory be known and revealed. Cause it's you when no rhyme or reason can go. For it's you in all time and each season, I know. And you never leave us all to chance. And with you, the world will yet have its dance. Cause it's you when no rhyme or reason can go. For it's you in all time and each season, I know. And you...
Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats, their gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Herschel Thinman here, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. One Stop is now called The Grove. They've redone the store. If you went there last year, you wouldn't recognize it. And it's a totally different store. Wonderful place to shop now. And, of course, they have taken the utmost in precautions in shopping so that, you know, maintaining social distancing and providing hand sanitizer and gloves for people, and you're only allowed to walk in with a face mask. But everything is just wonderful over there. It's a great place to shop. Check it out. Up next, we have got time for one more song. This is brand new, his first recording. This is Reuven Garber. The song is called Close Your Eyes.
Everywhere I go, it's all around me. Everywhere I turn, I find an enemy. Every day I'm waking up and wondering how we gonna get through. Lost inside all the news, I'm suffering. There don't seem to be a way to save me. Feeling so low, wanna give up trying. How we gonna get through? But I know that even now you're by me. Deep within, I know that you can hear me. Never give up, just gonna keep on trying. Oh, I raise my voice and I will pray forever. The only way forward is together. Never give up, just gonna keep on trying. As I sing, I close my eyes, close my eyes, close my eyes. It's close together. Close my eyes, close my eyes, close my eyes. With you forever.
up and say goodbye, don't scare me. Ever so more, now I need you by me. Ooh, eh, oh, ooh, eh, oh. Need to look inside myself and find me. Time to make a change, where will you take me? Never give up, just gonna keep on trying. Ooh, eh, oh, ooh, eh, oh. You know my love for you, my child, is endless. Gonna take you out of this contagious. All I want is you to keep on trying. Remember that through this night you'll be my light forever. All I want is you to keep on trying. Ooh, eh, oh, eh, oh. As I sing, I close my eyes, close my eyes, close my eyes. It's close together. Close my eyes, close my eyes, close my eyes. With you forever. Close my eyes, close my eyes, close my eyes. It's close together. Close my eyes, close my eyes, close my eyes.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herschel Zinman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week, we are reading in the synagogue the portion of Hazina, which is chapter 32. Of the book of Deuteronomy. It's a very short portion and very difficult. It is an allegorical poem, and just reading it, even if you understood the Hebrew exactly, like perfectly, you wouldn't have a clue what it was talking about. And the subtleties can be conveyed. The basic idea, though, is it's a premonition. I wouldn't say it's a prophecy per se, because it is Moses talking, but premonitions to what the future will hold for the Jewish people. The basic theme is, as the book of Deuteronomy is rife, is you take care of God, and God will take care of you. And if you don't take care of God, God is really going to take care of you. So I'm going to focus a lot, just a little bit, and I'm going to talk to you about Shabbos Shuva and Yom Kippur, which is coming up next week. The idea of Hazinu, that Moses calls upon heaven and earth to pay attention, which is a very interesting statement, right there in and of itself. Moses says, listen, we need witnesses, and anytime anything is done in Judaism, there are two witnesses. People get married, there are two witnesses. People get divorced, there are two witnesses. So for the purpose of establishing fact. So Moses said, listen, I want this to be established fact also, and I'm calling on heaven and earth, because I'm not going to be around. No one's going to be around forever, so we want this to be a lesson in perpetuity, that what Moses was saying on the last day of his life would have a recourse and effect until even into the year 2020 when Mashiach comes. So Moses is drawing attention to heaven and earth, and we see that in the last 50, 60, 70 years, with the settling of Israel, after a period of some 1800 and something years, where Jews were not allowed to live in Israel. And what happened to the land? Because the whole time that the Jews were not living in Israel, Israel was the land there physically was barren. It was a wasteland. It was either desert or swamp. But when the Jews moved back, and this was a promise that Moses made, that the Jews will move back, and even Jews who profess not to be, they call them chiloni, which comes from the word to be profane, which God forbid to call some Jew profane. But they're all keeping mitzvahs to some extent. They're all doing, it's just like it says that even the most negligent of Jew is filled with mitzvahs, like a pomegranate is filled with seeds, which is one of the reasons why it is that we have a pomegranate on the table on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, is to allude to this fact and sort of like remind the Almighty that yes, they're doing things, because the great charitable institutions that are being maintained in Israel are being maintained by people who would say I'm not religious, but they're giving a lot to charity, and they're doing other things. They have the census, which is taken in Israel on a yearly basis, asks questions of religiosity. And they're able to determine with, I would say, a great degree of accuracy, as how many people, what percentage of the population are participant in Jewish activities. And it's a very high number. And these would be people, if you would ask them, are you religious? They would say, no, but you do this, you do that, you do this. So it's all for a very good thing. And we see that what the land of Israel is now one of the 26 developed nations in the world. And we see the whole point of the interview is it seems at this point that nations are clamoring to get on board with making alignment with Israel because of Israel's innovation. And we've been talking 25 years, we've been mentioning that, I don't even mention it anymore because it's not news anymore, that this major corporation is opening up an R&D in Israel, and this major corporation is opening up a tech center, and this American corporation is importing Israeli parts for use in its products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is all predicted by Moses in the portion of Hazina. The portion of Shabbos Shuvah, which is called Shabbos Shuvah because of the Haftorah, the portion of the prophets, which is read in the synagogue, Shuvah Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. So the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe responded that how much do you have to return? What is the idea? What is our ideal of coming back, of returning and correcting? As until we're given a prescription, ad Hashem Elokecha. Until Hashem, which represents the godliness, which is beyond and well beyond nature, above time and place, was, is, and will be, becomes Elokecha, becomes your strength and your might, that we are able then to relate to the world in a way where we're superseding the limits of the world. And it may be the world says, no, you can't stay home on Shabbos. You have to work on Shabbos. We can say, no, Shuvah Hashem, Shuvah Yisrael, Hashem Elokecha. I'm returning to God and relating to the world beyond nature. And I'm keeping the Sabbath, and I'm keeping kosher, and keeping the rules that will get me closer to God and maintain this wonderful relationship, making the world a better place, bring the Messiah, and we'll live happily ever after. We've got to take a quick commercial break. We've got a really interesting story coming up. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herr Schulfenman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The easiest, best way? Go to my website, rabbifin.com. That's www.rabbifinman.com. What you'll find right on the homepage, a way to contact me. And you contact me, I'll contact you, and we'll be best friends forever. Yes, it's a good thing. What else is on rabbifinman.com? Well, we've got archived editions of the show going back about 3.5-4 years. We've got archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, and Hasidic U stories, ways in which we make Judaism interesting, exciting, and fun in a very fast way just to keep you on the go and up and informed and having a good time with your Judaism. That's what we're trying to do. And there's also the very important donations page. The Jewish Hour has been on air for 25 years, and we do have sponsors, but for the most part, it's listener-supported. People like you have been listening now for pretty close to 55 minutes now, and you've enjoyed it. Otherwise, you would have shut down. You wouldn't be listening to me do this. So go to rabbifinman.com. Go to the donations page. Make your donation. It's still the Rosh Hashanah season. It's your money will be gladly accepted, that's for sure. Make it a monthly donation. You do that, and that way you don't have to worry about it. If you don't want to put out a bigger donation, put out 12 smaller donations. That's also good. $5 a month is $60. I'll take it. We'll take it. The Jewish Hour needs you. Do it today. Don't like doing internet giving? That's fine. Send your donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. This story, we should have maybe told it last week. It's a Rosh Hashanah story, but I just heard it on Rosh Hashanah, so I'm reporting it back. This story comes to us from Chaya Halberstam Evers. She is the granddaughter of the protagonist of the story. Her grandfather, Meir Halberstam, eventually became the Zhemegrodny Rov, living in Israel, spent his early adolescence, when he was 13, and stuck in Siberia. What was the deal? His family moved to Israel, which was called Palestine at the time, in the 1930s. And for his bar mitzvah, his father got him a present that he would go and spend some time with his grandfather, Sinai Halberstam, who was the Zhemegrodny Rov, living in Zhemegrod, in central Poland. And he could spend time there with his Zeta, learning, etc. Then, 1939, and things in Poland changed really rapidly, and they escaped to Russia, only to be, as a Polish refugee, to be deported to the Siberian wilderness. And his grandfather, he was there with his grandfather and a whole group of their Hasidim, which was made life a little bit comfortable. In the meantime, it's a labor camp in Siberia. And the first year that they were there, so the it's as you can imagine, a labor camp. It wasn't nice. It wasn't fun. And as Rosh Hashanah approached, the grandfather of Simcha was concerned, how are they going to blow shofar without attracting the ire of the guards? And he had a shofar. This actually, his shofar was his grandfather's. So this is a family heirloom of sorts. One day, like 2 days before Rosh Hashanah, Meir had an idea. And he waited until it got late at night. And he saw that the guards, who would get drunk every single night and they passed out, he climbed the bell tower, which they used this bell to wake up all the prisoners to get ready. And he very steadily climbed to the top of the tower and released the cord, and the bell went smashing to the ground, and it hit the ground and it broke. I can't imagine what kind of bell this is. But so now, the next morning he wakes up, the head of the camp is angry, the bell is broken, and how are they going to wake up the prisoners? So this young kid, Mayor, 13 years old, says, my grandfather has a shepherd's pipe, and he can blow it. They said, yeah, bring it over here. So Reb Simcha's grandfather brought his shofar, and he said, blow this thing. So he started blowing it. And he said, boop. So the commandant took the shofar and couldn't get a note out of it. So Mayor said, the kid said to the commandant, my Zeta is a professional. Why don't you let him blow the shofar? So if Tony, if you could bring the music up behind us. So that Rosh Hashanah, the camp heard the shofar blowing from the Zhemigrodna Rav. And his mayor, when he hears Rosh Hashanah, when he would blow shofar Rosh Hashanah in his synagogue decades later, he said he was always inspired by that blowing from his grandfather. We're going to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a productive job at Tshuva. We'll be back next week before Yom Kippur. We'll talk about Yom Kippur. We'll talk about Sukkot. Till then, take care.